This is Pavlina Demchuk-Macquarie, producer and host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Welcome, Vitayu. I hope you'll enjoy this next podcast of a feature interview recently broadcast on the show. Links to all Nash Holos podcasts and the live broadcasts, as well as program details at www.nashholos.com. Ina Tsirkova is a longtime employee of the Canadian Embassy in Kyiv. She is a support staffer there and has worked with many Canadian ambassadors, including former Ambassador Derek Fraser, who now lives in Victoria. At about 1 a.m. on February the 1st, Ina's car was torched, along with those of several other Euromaidan activists. Ina kindly agreed to tell us what happened. We spoke by phone yesterday. Ina Vitayu, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you're safe. This is actually not that much reported in the news, at least so far. We're talking on Saturday morning here. Tell us what happened. How did you find out about it, and what happened?
About 1 a.m. In the morning, actually, I was already asleep. My husband was still watching news. He saw a flash out of the window. We live on the fifth floor of a nine-story apartment, so it's not very high, and he saw an unusual flash of light. So he went to the window and saw that our car was instantly on fire.
Where was your car located?
Just parked on the street outside of the apartment building, exactly in front of the windows of our apartment.
Oh, my God.
So he saw this, you know, the car being on fire. He called me immediately. He rushed out. I followed him, and we tried to, you know, I took some bottles or whatever. We tried, you know, some water, but there was snow also extensive. We tried that. And on the way out, while running down the stairs, I called my sister, who is in the same apartment building, for her to call police or whoever. And she rushed out, and we were trying, you know, all the snow possible, but the fire was extensive, so it was inside. The front right window of the car was broken in, and we assumed it was the so-called Molotov cocktail, because the inside of the car was immediately on fire and really burning. It was not like something small starting. It was immediate, like, big, big fire. Fire brigade came pretty soon after we came out and helped us taming it. Then they took some expertise afterwards. We've been a bit shocked, of course, and there were some strange uniformed, in police uniforms, very young guys standing some 150 meters as onlookers and making real fun of it. And when the fire was tamed, I came to them asking, like, who are you, or what are you doing here? And they were kind of, you know, neglecting, making fun. And when I asked them for their IDs, because they're wearing uniforms, they're supposed to show their IDs to people if they're in business. They can't wear uniforms out of business. But they retreated in some cars. Unfortunately, we didn't take pictures of those cars. But we do have pictures of the actual fire and how we tried to tame it and what happened to the car afterwards, because one of my neighbors is being a professional photographer. So he saw also the flash, and he came out on his balcony and was trying to make as many pictures as possible. And then we took some pictures after the incident for us to document what happened to the car. Then, you know, we had police and others, like police investigators, two guys who kind of took or wrote a report and took our explanations, but were really kind of aggressive towards us. I don't know, you know, they were tired or not, but one thing that I do remember clearly, that's one of him, when I was, you know, I was really agitated when they made a report without properly taking facts. And I said, no, I'm going to add to this report to every single row that I don't agree to. And they didn't agree. And then the police officer, You know, he showed us idea and we documented this too by photographing it. He just turned to me and said, yeah, I hate you.
What?
That's, yes, police officer on duty said, I hate you. And that was in front of my husband, in front of my sister, and in front of the other police officer. And I wrote that into their report. And today I had a visit from another investigative officer where he interrogated me as a victim, apparently. But I, again, wrote down the same. So that's basically the account of that night.
I am speechless. That's just unbelievable. A police officer would tell you, I hate you. And this is not...
Yeah, because I did not agree with what she wrote or how he wrote or how he didn't want me to add or... to have the system, you know, living in Ukraine when police officers sometimes making reports leave blanks, and then they can write into it something that you didn't agree or didn't even know. So people in Ukraine know that you have to kind of cross with ink every single space so that nothing is written into it afterwards. So they certainly didn't like me doing that. I also asked them about those younger police officers who were mocking at the scene and just disappearing without showing their ID. He didn't even like that, too.
Now, Inet, you had explained to me earlier, you're an employee of the staff. You are a Ukrainian citizen, and you are employed by the Canadian Embassy in Kiev.
Yeah.
And what is your role?
My official status, my position is called political economic officer, but I just want to underline that, you know, this happens not in the relation to the Canadian embassy, though Ukrainian media, they always jump to the conclusion because I also do a lot of media relations and lots of media people know me that I work at the embassy. So immediately after I posted my pictures and account of what happened on the website, there were kind of conclusions that, you know, Canada introduced sanctions, the car one of the employees has been torched, or something related. I just have to note here that I don't think it's related to the embassy at all. Maybe because, you know, I can be a bit more visible, but only to that extent. But it's happening not just to me, but a lot of people who are more active in their social activities, and I've been actively supporting Maidan outside of the embassy, hours, weekends, you know, nights, or doing other stuff, or being with the Automaidan when protesting at President Yanukovych's residence. Stuff like that. So I've been quite engaged, and I'm pretty sure that this is connected to that, because after the first protest in the residence of President Yanukovych, where a few thousand of cars joined the protests, and we just joined in the last stage because we were close to the city. The plates of those cars were somehow documented and then thrown into the open access to the internet with full data of people who own cars. So it means that right now you can find me, like my full name, date of birth, passport, like all my passport data, my address, the type of the car where I bought it, even the bank which credited that. So it's a lot of personal information, and certainly it's not accessible to regular people. It means that I'm pretty sure that Ukrainian law enforcement and Interior Ministry is doing that. So.
Where is Edward Snowden when you need him? Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying that there is some speculation that this was, actually I received a tweet this morning saying that this was the work of criminals, a group called OPLOT, O-P-L-O-T, Russian FSB from Kharkiv.
But OPLOT?
OPLOT, is that what it is?
Not sure. Of course, I can't refute or confirm that. I've also saw somewhere on the internet that another organization, which I never heard about, called Red Sector, already took responsibility for torching 9 cars the last night and 23 cars 2 nights before in Kyiv only. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure because, you know, if some thugs or hooligans are trying to, you know, torch cars, we have outside of our building, I just counted recently about 25 cars parked densely on the street, and only my car was torched. So it means it's a targeted action against people whose data was thrown into the open access after protesting outside of Mezhgirye. And I talked to other people because before that, authorities had another way of threatening people. They reported some traffic, minor administrative violence against people who didn't pull out at the request of police officers at places and time where people could not be there. And based on that, people were brought to courts and, like me, driving licenses were suspended for 6 months. So it's a targeted action against people of the so-called Automaidan. There were not activists. We've just joined them once because we were near and second time because we were going that way.
Okay, tell us
about... But they have documented plate numbers, which they're just randomly torching.
Tell us what Automaidan is for those who are not familiar.
Automaidan is... it was an initiative of people who, which drove from the so-called road patrol, civic road patrol, which exists in Ukraine for some time when drivers, you know, in their private vehicles are trying to prevent police, traffic police violence. Normally it's corruption when they're just stopping cars and you have to pay. And other violences, but when Maidan broke in November, Kyiv citizens with private vehicles decided to support Maidan, so they organized patrols around Maidan. They were going around Kyiv with flags and honking, you know, just trying to attract attention of people. That's what's going on. And then they started this initiative of basically going to these very posh and very expensive residences, starting with President Yanukovych and other officials, just going outside and standing there, you know, protesting. And Ukrainian authorities, government officials are not used to it. And when the first Automaidan action to Mezhgirye, the residence of the current president, happened or was announced on the 29th, that was an enormous outcome, like more than 2,000 cars.
Wow.
And people coming with kids, you know, like, can you imagine all these cars with flags coming towards, you know, the official residence? Of course, police was scared. They brought special forces. People didn't break in anything, but they were standing for quite a long time, scanning, you know, their mottos, demanding, you know, first it was about your integration. Now it's a bit different. It's about, you know,
it's about dignity.
Get out. Yeah. Right. Dignity, safety. Stop killing, stop kidnapping, stop beating. So this is called Automaidan. So it's part of Maidan, but it's people on wheels.
What I don't understand, Inna, is you describe...
Excuse me.
That's okay.
A bit of smoke last night from the car.
That came out into your...
burning car. No, that's okay. It's not that much, but because when you're near, you know, all this plastic and rubber, you're bound to get some.
What I don't understand is the people that are actually committing this brutality. Who are they? You had those young men out there that were were jeering and mocking and were happy to see your car torch?
I don't know because I just saw them and I came to them asking like who they were. You know, for me, knowing regular police officers, you know, first of all, the number, they come in twos and threes. The number was about 1,000. I didn't count, of course, but larger than the usual patrols. The age, they were much younger than normal police officers or traffic police officers who work. It's their jobs, but these guys were younger. I don't know, but they were dressed in uniforms. They never showed me ID when I asked, and they departed as soon as I was insisting.
Did they talk to you?
No.
So you don't know what language they were speaking? You couldn't detect any kind of accent?
No, but frankly, you know, I probably overheard them talking among themselves. I don't think they were Russians or whatever you mean. I just don't think so. They were too young, you know, from my understanding, to be brought from outside of the country. They were really young, maybe 16, but 17, 18.
But in uniform.
19.
And in uniform.
Yeah, but they were wearing uniform, which are, you know, coats with militia on their backs. And I asked the police investigators when they were putting together a report who they were. They said they didn't know.
I was going to say earlier that as a Canadian, I am personally offended at this act and outraged. Although you say that it was not a political statement against Canada per se, but more personally against you and your activity.
Yeah, I can confirm this because, you see, we're really, my husband and I are kind of active in this Maidan thing. So I'm pretty sure I already canvassed when I was first harassed for non-pulling, you know, this fake accusation and first report. I canvassed other LES employees of the embassy. No one got it. So I was the only one, I think, from the embassy who was actually brought to court with actual hearing and suspension of driving license.
Wow.
So I don't think it's connected to my line of duty as the employee of the embassy, frankly. And certainly we're not diplomats, we're not carrying any official functions, we're so-called support staff.
I see. Okay.
So I don't perform anything of my own, or I don't represent Canadian government.
I see.
You know, according to Vienna Convention, it's not my role. We are support staff to official Canadian diplomats. I don't have any decision, you know,
sure.
And I'm pretty sure that in so many years, even authorities can understand that, you know, LES are not the ones who have influence, lobbying ability, decision making.
So this is an act of intimidation against you personally, not against the Canadian government.
I think it's against activists of various forms of Maidan, yes.
Ina, are you, you must be concerned for your personal safety, obviously, but I think probably you, all of you in Ukraine, now block it out and just do what you have to do to make your voices heard.
That's exactly, I couldn't say it better.
So you basically don't worry about your personal safety?
No one can say you don't worry. Yes, I worry, but at the same time, it's been happening for quite a long time now, at least myself as the owner of the car for my family, like the car is my property, not my husband's. I'm pretty sure if it would have been registered on his name, he would be harassed. I'm harassed by police and other interior troops officials since the beginning of January. Very beginning. It started on the 2nd of January. So, many, many other people, because we do talk to each other, you know, people who are in the same circumstances. I don't know. Did I mention that, you know, 23 cars 2 days before and 9 cars over this night and over 2,000 cases of suspending of driving licenses based on the trip to President Yanukovych's residence. So this is quite a big operation, and I think it's, you know, it's aimed at threatening people, just showing them, you know, if you don't give up, that's what happens, and that's the aim of the current authorities.
And you had said earlier that Ukrainians are not in a mood to fold up and go home and back off.
I don't think so. No. Because it's getting worse and worse, and it's my own feeling, and at least, you know, with the people I talk to, I like my friends and family and, you know, extended circle of communication, people will understand that if we don't stand up enough, then, you know, it means the end of Ukraine in terms of democracy and real freedoms. It will be the Soviet Empire back in the 1930s when people were just thrown to prisons, killed. And that's happening in Ukraine. You've been following, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
But it's not happening in mass now, but it will be more and more. It's, you know, and if people give up, then it will be, this is my now personal opinion, that Ukraine will follow Russian scenario of after Bolotna, when, you know, the massive protests have been broken, and then people were arrested one by one.
Well, hope and pray, Ina, that that does not happen. May God be with you and keep Ukraine, and may all of you stay safe.
I hope too. That's why I'm active.
And we are so with you here in Canada.
Thank you.
All the best. Thank you
really,
so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. By the way, if I have a chance, I must say that lots of my Canadian friends whom I befriended on Mad or just, you know, got to know through my 22 years at the embassy, already called, tweeted, text, emailed with support, and I'm really, really appreciative, and as well as my family, because, you know, I can see that real, real support that people want us to endure. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you, Ina. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And I was speaking with Ina Tsarkova, staffer at the Canadian Embassy in Kyiv. I hope you enjoyed this week's feature interview from Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In addition to interviews such as the one you just heard, Nash Holos is host to many other outstanding features produced by people who love to share their love of Ukrainian culture with non-Ukrainian speakers. From Ukrainian recipes and cooking tips to reviews of English language books on Ukrainian themes, views on Ukrainian politics and current affairs, culture, folklore, and of course great Ukrainian music, traditional and contemporary, by artists from Ukraine, Canada, and around the world. So join me, Pavlina, and my fascinating guests on the weekly radio broadcasts in Vancouver and Nanaimo. You can listen to the live broadcasts on air or online, or download the podcast and listen later in your own good time. You'll find program information, broadcast details, and podcast links at www.nashholos.com. So until next time, do побачення.